Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our pal Brian Baldinger is sponsored by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, shipped directly to your door. You can order now at snakeriverfarms.com. We got a video up on our social media page about the butcher boy being in Jerry Rice's backyard cooking some American, some of the Wagyu by Snake River Farms. Look at that, Baldy. You were eating just like the greatest wide receiver of all time. Isn't that nice?
I mean, I am honored to be mentioned in the same company as the great Jerry Rice.
Oh, no. He's doing the sponsor was set up and the cell phone's cutting out. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. It is incredible beef, though. Get yourself some and eat it, and it's really good.
It really is. I had my butcher experience elevating my tailgate. And holy Moses, the meat. Oh, my goodness.
I heard Baldy has moved. Hopefully not too far. Baldy, how are you, pal?
I'm good, Damon. I'm good. So, these cell phones are a little finicky sometimes, you know?
Certainly are.
Got to find the right spot.
Well, you're in the right spot now because we can hear you loud and clear. So, 49ers got themselves a built-in headache going into an otherwise winnable game. How do you think this thing plays out, just knowing what we know about who isn't there? It's tough to win games without your first two running backs, your quarterback, your best defensive lineman, your best corner. It's pretty ridiculous what has happened to this team so far through just 2 weeks of football.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know that I've seen a team hit this hard, this quick, with so many important players. I mean, they lost Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas within about four plays of each other. I mean, it was just bam, bam. But it really, I mean, I think you're going to find out just what kind of team it is. You know, these teams have 69-man rosters now. I mean, they need a 69-man roster. But it really goes to coaching, the front office. We're going to find out a lot about the team, but I have a feeling the team will rally around the players that are on the field, and they will play. The players that are there are going to play well. Now, there's no mistaking. There's no answer for Nick Bosa in the loss of Nick. Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you're not going to fill those shoes. But I have a feeling that they're going to play well nonetheless. The Giants are not a good football team. Fundamentally, they're not sound, and the 49ers are, I think, a well-coached team. I think you're going to see that this Sunday.
If there are any stylistic things that you see in this game that would deviate from normal 49er behaviors, what would they be?
Well, I mean, I think that they're going to run the football just fine. I mean, the Giants are good against the run because their strongest position is defensive tackle. But they're really kind of built to have teams that come right at them, where they can kind of stack them up with Dalvin Tomlinson and Dexter Lawrence and Williams. I mean, the whole group of them. But the way the 49ers run it, with their zone stretch and really the law of expanding angles to get technical, I didn't think it's going to bother the Giants. And so they play a diamond look where they play cover up the inside three defensive linemen, and they play Blake Martinez at middle linebacker. It's the same. It's literally the same look that they saw against the Green Bay Packers with the same middle linebacker. just kind of a diamond look, and they carved the Packers up twice. And they're going to get that look on Sunday. And I expect them, I mean, stylistically, Ray, I think they're going to attack them really well. I mean, the one thing you could say last week is Jerick McKinnon looked like he missed football for 2 years. He played well, and I expect him to play well.
All right, with Nick Mullins in the game, we've talked a lot about all the things he can't do like Garoppolo. Is there anything he does maybe better that Shanahan can take advantage of?
Well, I mean, I think his favorite receiver is going to be the open receiver. I think he goes through his progressions really well. I mean, we saw that his rookie year when he beat out, Beathard. And you saw, I think it was the Raiders, the first game that he played. He played well. I think he's really good with being very attention to detail to all of his ball fakes and how important they are to the offense. He carries them out really well. Which is really confusing to the defense at times. And so, we're just not talking about the same arm that Jimmy Garoppolo has, the same whip that he has, being able to release it, under pressure, the same. But, it's not a bad number two that they have. He's got experience. He's played in big games before. He's played on the road. I mean, he's not a bad number two to have right now in that offense.
No, I think for a one-game engagement, if that's what it is, two games, he's very well suited as a backup quarterback. It's when you ask him to take the final 11 games of a season or whatever it is because Jimmy Torres, whatever. I mean, that's when you run into problems.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's probably not a starting quarterback. But, your backup quarterback has got to come in like he did last week. He's got to play well, and he's got to be able to start games and win games. Otherwise, there's no purpose to having a guy.
Brian Baldinger here on 90.
But really, you need a guy to come in and win games. This is a very winnable game. They need this game to stay, in a very tough division right now. They need him to come in and play well. They can't lose to the Giants on Sunday.
Brian Baldinger, our pal here on 95.7 The Game. Since we're talking quarterbacks, let's talk a little bit about Daniel Jones, who – obviously lost a very important target in Saquon Barkley and in Sterling Shepard, but he still has Evan Engram, the tight end. He's still got Darius Slayton, and Golden Tate has been a headache once or twice in his career, no pun intended. So what happens if Danny Dimes just goes bonkers on Sunday?
He's a very good player. He really understands the offense. He understands what he's looking at. They're just not very good around him. The offensive line is not very good. They're not fundamentally sound at all. It's hard to watch him, to be honest with you. I mean, but that being said, that guy is as tough as Eli Manning. I mean, he takes a hit, never says a word. He's a very good athlete. He can take off with it and convert third downs and first downs. I'm sure he'll be involved in some way in the running game. He should. Darius Slayton is a guy that can run by anybody in this league. Yeah, I mean, you got to just understand what his route tree is. It's limited. It's kind of go routes and comebacks. It's not a full tree, but he's the one. He's the run home. He's a legit home run hitter, though. He's a guy that you have to pay attention to. He's got. I asked him one day, just how fast he is, and he goes, "Dude, I got Auburn speed." I don't know what that means exactly, Damon, but he's got Auburn speed. I guess when you go to Auburn, you got to be able to burn a 3.43 to get on the field, and he's got that.
Make a case for the Giants winning that doesn't include the phrase "anything can happen in football."
Well, I mean, the first thing you got to have to do in this whole business is take care of the football, and so possessions are vitally important. You can't give the Giants a short field. You can't give them any reason to believe that they can win the game. You got to take the fight out of them, but. I won't say any given Sunday, but if you are sloppy with the football, then the Giants can win the game. I mean, if they're plus two at the end of the day in turnover margin, as to lose Shepard and to lose Saquon like that, I mean, those are the two best players on their offense outside the quarterback. So, they've been hurt as well. But if you give them a plus two in the turnover ratio, if you give them a bad special teams play the way the Falcons gave one to the Cowboys and they gave them that possession at the end of the game, just inexcusably not covering an onside kick, those kind of things can really snowball very quickly into a Giant victory.
I know we've only seen two games, but what do you make of Joe Judge as a head coach?
Well, it's a small sample, but I mean, I thought they would be further along fundamentally than they are. Like David Montgomery caught a screen pass last week, David, right? It was really just kind of a check down to the sideline. And I counted seven looks on the play. Now, the last thing I expected under Joe Judge is to have players not go full speed. David Montgomery scored on the play. In Chicago, his offense is just miserable to watch. But he scored on that screen, and I sat there. I actually texted the video to Carl Banks, and I go, what would Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick do? You know, because I know Joe Judge runs his players when they miss assignments and jump off sides. Like, I don't know, like, how long you can run guys, but that was an embarrassing performance. And so that's on Joe Judge. Like, he's not getting the very best out of him. And, like, I wanted to post it, but then I'm like, it's two games in. Let's just give him another game. But that was unsatisfactory. I don't know how he handled that, but it was embarrassing to watch. So I expected them to be, at least from an effort standpoint and a fundamental standpoint, to be further along than they are, and they just aren't.
Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. So let's talk about another guy who has Auburn speed, and that's Cam Newton, who has solved many of the, or at least answered an awful lot of questions about what's the post-Brady era going to look like in just a couple of games here. And now the Raiders are a little bit more interesting than anyone really wanted to admit they might be earlier in the year. What looked like a good luck with that game when the schedule came out might be one of the better games of the weekend.
There's six great games this weekend. I mean, great games on any level, and this is one of them. And really, it just goes to show you how important coaching is, because Cam Newton has really been coached. I've never seen him play like this ever. Even when he was the MVP of the league, he didn't play with the fundamentals that he's playing with now. He's following through on his balls. He's stepping into it. He's got two hands on a football. He's throwing short area routes that he was never accurate on, and because his fundamentals and techniques are sound, he's completing 70% of his passes. Cam Newton, I mean, if he was completing 60% of his passes, that was like a milestone. He's at 70% right now and had a darn good chance to beat Seattle at the end of the game. The Raiders, look, that performance by the Raiders on Monday night was fabulous. Derek Carr was fabulous. Darren Waller is like every quarterback, I don't care what system you're in, they need a guy, a dog, that can just win. Third downs, red zone. You need a play. You got to stay on the field. Darren Waller's that guy for him right now. And teams, and New Orleans is a very good defense. And they're more than capable of taking away your best player or your best option, and they couldn't do it. And it was real credit to Waller and to Gruden, how they moved him around. They did it with a backup to the backup right tackle and a backup left guard and on and on and on. And they went down to New Orleans and they outplayed them. And they shut the Saints out in the second half of that game. It was really impressive.
Jumping back to Cam Newton quickly, when you say he really got coached up, his fundamentals look great. I mean, I don't think of that as being really the head coach's area. So is that a quarterback coach? I mean, do you credit Belichick? Who gets credit for that?
Well, Josh McDaniels gets a lot of credit. People probably thought that Cam would resist like hard coaching. No, this is where your feet got to be. This is the discipline that he's playing with right now, because he does not have a great supporting cast at all. But it doesn't matter. I mean, Demir Byrd looks like a go-to guy. I mean, he's been around the league for 5 years and never caught six passes in a game like he did last week. But you can see the timing. That's Josh McDaniels and Belichick going, this is the way we do things. And it's clear Cam has completely bought it. In fact, a couple players were saying on the six-hour flight from Logan to SeaTac Airport in Seattle, like he was in the playbook for six straight hours. He's recharged. The Patriots are recharged. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's just going to be fun to watch because they're doing it a completely different way. In some ways, some parts of the offense are just what Brady ran too. But, heck, they didn't even throw it to Edelman at the beginning of the game. They went other places. He was even on the field at the beginning of the game. They went other ways And so the team is being reborn, and Cam Newton's a big part of it.
You'd referred to the Saints as a very good defense. New England was a very good defense for much of the year last year. Are they good enough to make the Raiders look different than they did a week ago?
Yeah, they are. I mean, because it's going to be interesting to see who takes Waller. Like, they could put J.C. Jackson on him. He's covered Travis Kelce before. They like him against big flex tight ends like Waller. But I have a feeling Stephon Gilmore wants it. Now, maybe they put him on Ruggs because he can flat out run with the best of them. And he knows that Ruggs has a limited, you know, experience out. I mean, he'll just see all the flaws in Henry Ruggs as soon as he steps on the field. But I have a feeling Gilmore wants Darren Waller, even though he's 6 inches shorter. Like, I think that might be a fun matchup, a game within a game to watch. You know, Adrian Phillips was the first-team All-Pro safety 2 years ago with the Chargers. He's starting at safety for Patrick Chung. He's a good football player. Chase Winovich is your basic, typical Patriot player, just full effort all the time and knows how to play. I mean, they kind of rebuilt it, but they kind of play the same way that they've always played right now.
Brian Baldinger here. You talk about the six great games this weekend, and look, we all got the local interest of Niners-Jets, but that really isn't even one of them. I mean, there are some real heavyweights out here. Cowboys-Seahawks, obviously. Packers-Saints is going to be a big one. The Rams are going all the way to take on the Bills this weekend. But the best really is, I mean, it's like an old-school schedule where the marquee game is the Monday nighter, Chiefs-Ravens. Set that up for us.
Yeah, and I was at SoFi Stadium last week, Damon, to watch the Chiefs against the Chargers. And they were on the ropes for almost, you know, the whole game up until a 58-yard field goal at the end. But, you know, these games, I mean, there's just no energy in these stadiums. And so Kansas City literally looked like they sleptwalked for 2.5 quarters, including the MVP of the league, Patrick Mahomes. And even in the last quarter and a half, when he woke up, they were unstoppable. I watched the Ravens last week go to Houston. And I think I'm using the right adjective here, but they bludgeoned the Houston Texans. I mean, they just bludgeon you with just power and, you know, power football and four running backs, including Lamar. And Lamar's running out of bounds this year. He's getting down. He's protecting himself, which is a good thing. It's just two different systems that are very well coached, are playing at a very high level in a league where a lot of teams are really struggling. But they came out of the gates really hot, both teams. Both teams, I think, are better than they were a year ago. And so, I mean, it may be just a prelude to the AFC Championship game here on Monday night.
You said there were six great games, and I don't think there's any question that there are six very intriguing ones. But there's one that is god-awful, and that is Bengals-Eagles. So the question becomes, how many beers would you have to drink before you would consent to watch that?
Ray, I'm doing that game on Sunday now. You know, they're sending me that.
Oh, my
God. Did you get crossways with a boss?
Well, no, because this stuff is kind of set a couple weeks in advance. So, you know, before the season started, they asked me week three, do you want to go to Buffalo, the Rams of Buffalo, or do you want to see the Eagles in Cincinnati? So I figured the Eagles would be 2-0, and I get to see Joe Burrow, and it would be great. And now, you're right. I mean, Carson Wentz is a mess. His fundamentals are as bad as you can get right now. And so the offensive line protected him really well last week, and he was just awful in their performance against the Rams. And Cincinnati has at least been competitive. They at least moved the football. They had a very good chance to win week one against the Chargers. Joe Burrow hit A.J. Green at the last play of the game for a touchdown, the winning touchdown, and they called offensive pass interference, which was a bizarre call to everybody. But, you know, that's what it was. So, but, you know, Joe Burrow is, yeah, you can see the talent. I mean, it's there. They got to have a better offensive line in front of them, but, you know, you can see that it could really be the beginning of something good with him. He's going to be a good player in this league.
Let me tell you what's going to be great about the Bengals-Eagles game. Brian Baldinger will be great about that game. There's
right.
No doubt in my mind.
So, in other words,
I'm going to make it the game of the week. Listen, I'm going to make it to game of the week. I mean, I've got more material for this game. Like, I mean, I'm ready. I could do a doubleheader on Sunday for this game. I'm ready.
Hey, so I got to ask you, only because, you know, you saw it with your own two eyes, and you don't really get a feel for a stadium until there's a crowd in there too, but what was your impression of SoFi? Could you see the $5 billion everywhere you looked?
I'm not going to throw hyperbole at this, but I'm going to do it. It's the single nicest building I've ever been in my life. I mean, I literally wanted to get a pillow and just curl up and watch one of the 10,000 TVs in there and watch the Sunday night game. That's what I wanted to do. Order a pizza, get a pillow, and just, I mean, I could live in that place. It's so nice. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I want to see it at night. You know, I saw it in broad daylight. It was a beautiful day in Los Angeles. But I'd love to see it at night, too. I mean,
Brian,
it's spectacular.
Thank you so much for joining us, brother. Always great to talk to you. Really appreciate your time. And have a wonderful time calling the game of the week this weekend.
Thanks, David. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
There he is, Brian Baldinger, brought to you by Snake River Farms. You can order yours now at snakeriverfarms.com. Great stuff. Great stuff with Brian. Let me tell you, Ray, when you want to hit the bullseye, you really do.
Worst game
of the week. That's where I'm going.
He didn't answer the question, though.
No. Well,
I mean, he really should have said, I plan to be so drunk for that game that I probably will never work again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.